day.
Welcome to the program. Well, it looks like the pig man is going to get a pass, which doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to write letters of complaint to the FCC. But from everything that I have picked up today and the fact that it's being ignored by so-called mainstream media, it's just business as usual here in America 2008. It is now apparently acceptable to use your access to the public airwaves to advocate riots and burning and destruction in an American city. Yesterday, we played several clips with the oxymoron advocating those riots in the streets of Denver during the Democratic Convention coming up in August. Thanks to a listener who emailed Kathy this blast from the past from Media Matters. .org last year. In June of last year, Limbaugh seemed to think advocating riots was a bad thing. Bad thing. Why? Well, Barack Obama had given a speech describing what Obama called the, quote, quiet riots, end quote, that exist in the minds of upset Americans who are dismayed by Bush crime family policies. So, the pig man. And by the way, isn't he a coward? He backpedals from his own point of view. Anyway, the pig man went on the air that day and questioned Barack Obama's patriotism and spoke of the dangers of inciting riots. Quiet or not, in your head or not. My, I guess internal mental quiet riots are bad on the part of Obama, but calling for literal riots, complete with the images burned into the minds of Americans above a certain age from 1968 Chicago, burning cars, gun violence, 100-plus policemen injured. Of course, it was kind of their riot to begin with. All sorts of protesters beaten to a bloody pulp. Well, that's a perfectly upstanding pro-American call to action. Huh? No hypocrisy there.
Barack Obama, let me give you this quote from a story. I mentioned this yesterday. Talked about the quiet riot. Obama noted that during the riots, this is the L.A. riots, the 15 years ago South Central riots, and he's talking about there's a quiet riot brewing in America today because Bush doesn't care, because Bush isn't doing enough. This guy is inciting. He was inciting riots. He spoke to an audience of, well, I think I remember it yesterday, 8,000 people. And to talk about a quiet riot that is brewing out there is dangerous. It is reckless.
Can you believe this?
Can you imagine if a Republican candidate talked about something equivalent to this?
There's a quiet riot brewing out there.
They'd be all over the place, headlines and so forth, about how this is irresponsible, trying to incite violence in America. And what do you think Obama was doing?
This is why, politically speaking, or speaking from the standpoint of media in this country, it is totally through the looking glass. This filthy pig, Limbaugh, can go on the air and say what he said this week. Actually, literally, his words, still posted at his website, calling for violence in an American city. And Barack Obama, a year ago, talks about a quiet riot going on inside the heads of people because they are disillusioned, disappointed, dispossessed because of Bush's policies. I think the contempt that I have for right-wingers, for Republicans, is so deep and abiding because of issues like this. Because there are people out there who continue to listen to this filth, this filthy, filthy, drug-addled, child-abusing man. You know, as long as Republicans or right-wingers elevate this useless person, worse than useless, this thug, to the level, it speaks volumes about you, Republicans. I mean, Rush, on a certain level, is a clown. He's a coward. He's an instigator. He's one of those types that on a schoolyard playground, you know, he wants Bobby and Joey to fight. So he says things that will get Bobby and Joey into a fight so he can stand back and play with himself as he watches a couple of normal boys fight because they've been incited into the fight. This is Rush. The thing about Rush that is most disgusting is his absolute cowardice. Absolute cowardice. What Obama really said in his June 5th, 2007 speech that Rush referred to as inciting violence. You want to compare with what Rush actually said on his program this week. Obama said those quiet riots that take place every day are born from the same place as the fires and the destruction and the police decked out in riot gear and the deaths. They happen when a sense of disconnect settles in and hope dissipates. Oh, listen to this. Despair takes hold. Young people all across the country look at the way the world is and believe that things are never going to get any better. You tell yourself, my school will always be second rate. You tell yourself there will never be a good job waiting for me to excel at. You tell yourself you'll never be able to afford a place that you can be proud of and call home. That despair quietly simmers and makes it impossible to build strong communities and neighborhoods. And then one afternoon, a jury says, not guilty. Or a hurricane hits New Orleans, and that despair is revealed for the world to see. Now, that's what Obama said less than a year ago. That's what Barack Obama said. It is poetic. It is very descriptive. It is filled with images and filled with truth. Now, listen to the pig man describing the goal of his Operation Chaos.
Riots in Denver at the Democratic Convention. We don't elect Democrats, and that's the best damn thing that could happen for this country as far as any guy can think of. It's called Operation Chaos. The dream part of this, I mean, if people say, what's your exit strategy? The dream end of all this is that it keeps up to the convention. And then we have a replay of Chicago 1968 with burning cars, protest fires, literal riots, and all that. That's the objective here. We need as many ignorant Americans to wake up and find out exactly who the modern-day Democrat Party is that's dominated by the far left in this country. We need that to be seen.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I'd like to compare and contrast what Obama said and what Limbaugh said and just ask the gentle listener which one, in their opinion, sounded like inciting violence. Rush heard Obama's speech and said, well, that's reckless. That's dangerous. He's trying to incite violence in America.
Yeah. But you see, being a coward, and everyone who appreciates Rush as an entertainer or as a political pundit or as a talk show host is, in fact, himself or herself a coward. That's why they cluster around Rush like so many flies around a dung heap. Rush says the things, he can't back them up. He stays hidden. You never see him out and about unless he's completely surrounded with, his friends at a golf course sucking down one of his big cigars. Rush stays hidden because he knows how vulnerable he is. He knows what would happen if he made himself a public a persona. His audience can understand that. That's why they cluster around him, because they also are terrified cowards. They like to sit back and pound their desk and talk about, well, I'm going to get those damn liberal. But when confronted, they always collapse. They fall apart like wet toilet tissue. So no, we're not going to devote any more than what we just did to the pig man and his rancid followers, except to say, I hope we keep up the pressure to the FCC. This filthy slug needs to be removed from the airwaves. So good that I want you to know. About 21 past the hour. And by the way, if you want to get the whole thing, there are all sorts of video sources around. Now, here's another one for you. Go to iStir, E-Y-E-S-T-I-R, iStir, stir, iStir.blogspot.com, iStir, E-Y-E-S-T-I-R. That's a good site. Put it in your favorite places, E-Y-E-S-T-I-R, iStir. Eister, damn it, .blogspot.com. This kind of, I don't know if this made it to the national news today. I didn't watch any national news today. I think we looked at a little bit of NBC's coverage tonight. But Admiral Michael Mullen, who is still the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he's about to retire, I think, in a month or so. He is right now the nation's top military officer. And he said today that the Pentagon is planning for what he calls, quote, potential military courses of action, end quote, against Iran. Potential military courses of action against Iran. Now, the potential there is key. If he would have left that out and said the Pentagon is planning for military courses of action against Iran, whole different thing. Potential kind of mitigates the whole sentence, but does it? Mullen criticized what he called the Tehran government's, quote, increasingly lethal and malign influence, end quote, in Iraq. Increasingly lethal and malign influence in Iraq. He went on to say in this... I guess it was testimony. Was it testimony? Or it was a press conference? I guess it was testimony. He said, quote, it would be a mistake to think that we are out of combat capability, end quote. No, this is a Pentagon news conference. It would be a mistake to think that we're out of combat capability, he said. Now, as the Washington Post points out, Mullen's statements and other statements made by Defense Secretary Robert Gates recently signals a real uptick in pressure. This is really getting more and more and more intense. It's one thing for the dumbass in the White House to talk about Iran as a threat. It's something else, again, if you see the people really running this country, people like Cheney ordering these kinds of statements, then you see Gates, and now you see the top military commander, Michael Mullen. All of a sudden, it's a whole different thing from Chucklenut saying it. In other words, these people are serious. But it's a clear indication of what the Post calls a new rhetorical onslaught by the Bush administration against Iran. And what they're also charging the crazy people in our government is that Iran is increasing it's sending weapons to, training of, and financing Iraqi groups that are attacking and killing Americans, which I don't know if you want to believe that, okay, but as Mullen himself said, there is no smoking gun. There, he said, Mullen and Gates have recently stated that Tehran must know of Iranian actions in Iraq, which they say, Mullen and Gates say, are led by Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Mullen said he has, quote, no smoking gun, which could prove that the leadership of Iran is involved in this, end quote. So he qualifies it just a little bit, you see, just like saying the potential military courses of action that the Pentagon is planning for. At a speech earlier this week at West Point, Robert Gates said Iran, quote, is hell-bent on acquiring nuclear weapons, end quote. How does Gates know that? I don't mean that question to be naive. The Iranian government says no, that's not what we're involved in. The International Atomic Energy Agency says no, they're not making weapons. All reports from U.S. intelligence agencies say no. That was stopped back in 2003. So the information we're getting is not from intelligence agencies, but is from the military. What does that mean to you, truth seeker? Everybody is on the record, except Mullen and Gates and Petraeus and Cheney, the intelligence agencies, the Iranian government, the International Atomic Energy investigators. Everybody's saying, no, this is just not happening. They're going to get their war. They are going to get the third war. And you talk about an October surprise. It'll be this election cycle's October surprise. So that come November, we will be in a third shooting war, and the American people will dutifully go into the Diebold voting screen booths and elect John McCain.
Complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing.
Before the hour, back to this this report today that Admiral Michael Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, soon to leave that post to make way for David Petraeus. Mullen is saying that the potential military courses of action against Iran is in the planning stages in the Pentagon. Petraeus, who, of course, is the top U.S. commander in Iraq, is preparing a briefing soon to lay out detailed evidence of increased Iranian involvement in Iraq, Admiral Mullen said. The briefing, apparently, is going to detail, for example, the discovery in Iraq of weapons that were very recently manufactured in Iran, which immediately raises the snotty remark from me, so what? Most countries produce weaponry for export on the global arms market. We are the leading purveyors of that filth. So Iran makes weapons, and, oh, I don't know who buys them. Maybe an Israeli arms merchant, just for the sake of argument, who then sells them to Iraq. You think? Is that possible? Maybe a Russian arms merchant. Maybe Chinese. This is really getting sick. Petraeus said that recent unrest unrest in the southern city, Iraqi city of Basra, had highlighted what Petraeus called, quote, a level of involvement, end quote, by Iran that had not been understood previously by the U.S. military. In other words, according to Petraeus, U.S. military completely missed the Iranian connection. He went on to say, quote, it became very, very visible in ways that we hadn't seen before, end quote. Really? Is that right, David? Son of a bitch. You didn't see it before, but all of a sudden you see it now. Oh, I get it. Okay. You had a meeting with Cheney, right? And then in an incident early local time yesterday, a cargo ship run by private contractors working for the U.S. military fired what's referred to as several bursts of warning shots at two boats that approached in international waters off the Iranian coast. That's according to U.S. defense officials. The unidentified small boats approached a ship called the Westward Venture, a ship carrying U.S. military hardware. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I see. If we are providing weaponry to the time bomb that is the Middle East, oh, well, that's okay. If the Iranians happen to manufacture weapons that wind up in the same tinderbox or time bomb, oh, kill them! This country's okay, but you know, we are led by really, really sick, murderous, warmongering people. Do you understand that? And do you think the election in November, if it happens, is going to change anything? Do you think Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John McCain is going to change anything? You don't, do you? Come on now. Come on, boys and girls. Come on now. Hey, all you folks that want to see this wonderful change that Barack is talking about, all you folks that want to see a woman be president that Hillary's talking about, okay, do you think anything's going to change? Huh? Let me put this question out. If you want to answer it, fine. If you don't, I frankly don't give a damn. Will anyone call in and tell me you really, 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 really believe in your heart of hearts that anything about U.S. foreign policy is going to change from what it is now if Obama, Clinton, or McCain is elected? Now, be forewarned. If you call in and tell me that, I am going to say something, a variation of a theme, that you are a dumbass and very, very uninformed. So if you still want to call in and present to me your argument for how things are going to change when Obama, Clinton, or McCain is president, be prepared to accept some red ass from Malloy. Okay? Okay. You know the number. There's only one way things are going to change ever in this country, where it concerns our relationships with ourselves and our relationships with the rest of the world. And that is to end the corruption that is the Democratic and Republican parties. It's very simple. Why do we persist in telling ourselves otherwise? Because we're afraid? That could be it. We're very much afraid. Now, in addition to this, the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is set up, mandated by the United Nations as a result of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty that most civilized countries signed back in when? 1970? Was it 1970? It was a long time ago when it was decided that the world should try to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons because we just didn't want to commit species suicide and end the world. I think it was 1970. So this Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty was written, and most civilized countries signed it. We signed it. Of course, Bush and Cheney have told the treaty, if such a thing is possible, to go F itself, just like what Bush says about the Constitution, international law, the Geneva Convention, so on and so forth. So we don't care about that treaty anymore. Israel never signed it. Did we sign it? I think we signed it. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. But whether we did or not, we don't abide by any of the terms. So the head of the IAEA that's supposed to monitor the proliferation of nuclear weapons said today that he criticized the United States for not giving his organization intelligence information sooner on what the liars in the Bush crime family say was a nuclear reactor in Syria that was being built secretly by North Korea and which the Israelis went and bombed. Remember that story? When was that? A few months back? Mohammed al-Baradei, who heads the IAEA, I used to know his name way back when we were getting ready to invade Iraq for the second time, Baradei, also criticized Israel for deciding unilaterally to bomb the site back in September. Mohammed, they didn't decide unilaterally. Dick Cheney and Israel decided to bomb inside another country. This is what they do. There's no need to question what the U.S. and Israel does on the global stage. Whatever we do, we do. If you don't like it, you can kiss something, some part of somebody's anatomy, because it doesn't make any difference. We will do it anyway. We will have war. We will protect Israel. Israel will protect us. We will go after whatever oil resources, natural gas resources are available anywhere. Wait until the United States bumps its ass up against the massive ass of China. Wait till that happens, Drew Sager. Huh? What do you think is going to happen then?
The White House broke its silence regarding the issue yesterday, hours after top U.S. legislators, member of the House Intelligence Committee, were briefed on the alleged reactor. U.S. intelligence officials said evidence included dozens of photographs taken from ground level. Now get this, as well as footage from inside the building taken by spy satellites. Now, how, hold on just a second. Whoa, stop, back up. How do you get film footage taken from spy satellites inside a building? Oh, never mind. I'm sure there's a way to do it. The Mohammed al-Baradei's office said that he, al-Baradei, deplores the fact that this information was not provided to the agency in a timely manner in accordance with the responsibilities of the IAEA under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty to enable it to verify its veracity and establish the facts. In Washington, the State Department brushed aside al-Baradei's complaint.
Sit down and shut up, you goddamn Arab. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Sit down, Mr. Bush crime family. It's America.
John Bolton, who was an ambassador to the U.N., among other things, he should be in prison, too. He was in the U.N. at the time the U.S. was trying desperately to push al-Baradei out of his position as the Secretary General, or whatever it's called, of the IAEA. And Bolton said that the criticism of the IAEA is entirely unwarranted. Bolton said the IAEA was and remains unable to deal with regimes like Syria. Israel did what was necessary to defend itself, and the U.S. had no obligation to brief IAEA in such a matter. Now, everybody sit down and go back to whatever you're doing. I'm John Bolton. Shut up. We do what we want to do. Repeating its previous stance, Syria denied the allegations yesterday, and everything I just shared with you came from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper that tries to get out there for public consumption a bit of the truth.
Made me judge and jury hear it.
Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
I would walk 10 miles on my
Now, the Australian press is reporting that Dick Cheney is behind the Syrian reactor claim. Says here, U.S. government allegations that North Korea helped Syria build a nuclear reactor have been greeted with skepticism because of their timing. Israeli jets bombed the site in Syria's eastern desert last September. Remember when it was bombed? Nobody could figure out what the hell it was. Every single photograph that was available then showed, like, nothing. And as the Syrian ambassador has pointed out, Prairie 2 sent me this info, the Bush crime family photos of the supposed nuclear weapons facility in Syria has no fence, no guard stations, nothing. And if you remember, and I know this is hard for us because we live in America, if we can remember back to September when the bombing occurred, there were some photographs. Remember what it looked like? Like they had bombed an empty building. Remember? Oh, those tricky Syrians. They are so slick. Anyway, back to the Australian press. It says, today, after months of whispers, the White House publicly claimed that the target of the strike was a nuclear reactor. It said the reactor was being built with North Korean help and was not intended for peaceful purposes. U.S. intelligence officials said the reactor had been close to becoming operational when it was destroyed. Really? I mean, normally it takes, what, 15 years to get one of these suckers online? 10? 8? What does it take? What does it take to say, all of a sudden, Syria has a nuclear reactor this close to going online? Wow, really? Son of a bitch, thank God for the Israeli bombers and Dick Cheney sending them on their way, huh? But Mike Chinoy, who used to work at CNN, Mike Chinoy from the Pacific Council on International Policy, says the claim needs to be taken in its political context as North Korea's denuclearization reaches a critical stage. Chinoy said, quote, everything I'm hearing from my sources in Washington is that what you have now is a kind of pushback by Dick Cheney and his office and other hardliners who are opposed to diplomatic dealings with North Korea, end quote. Chinoy went on to say they're hoping that by making public these allegations of nuclear cooperation, it will torpedo the diplomatic process, end quote. Yeah, Cheney, who is a real monster. He really is. I mean, Limbaugh is a coward and a thug and likes to see other people fight. Dick Cheney is a monster. Cheney knows that he could check off or check out any time. So what he'd like to see is an invasion of Iran, an invasion of North Korea, an invasion of Syria. This is what this sorry son of a bitch wants. Have you ever heard of such a bloodthirsty individual other than the usual gang in a position of power, global power, than Cheney? And there's no need to go to Hitler and Stalin and Pol Pot and Mao and Pinochet, people, Oliver North. There's no need to go to those people. Cheney ranks out there. He wants to see this planet consumed in nuclear fire. Because if all 6.5 billion of us die, then Cheney's death is somehow rationalized in his mind. He can't rationalize the fact of his own possible demise any second because of all the wiring in his chest. Murderous, murderous people. It's astonishing. So as you hear the talk about we are, the U.S. Pentagon is working on operational plans, potentially, to invade Iran. Israel is part of anything that Cheney wants. The Likudniks in Israel will give him. So the scenario here is to make it appear as though the North Koreans somehow have moved all of this material over the course of what? How long does it take to build a facility to house a nuclear reactor designed to produce fissionable material so you can make bombs? How long does that take? Come on, I got some nuclear engineers and some real smart people who listen to this program. How long does that take? Starting with desert, how long does it take? 10 years? 15? 20? So over this extended period of time, neither Israeli nor U.S. intelligence saw a thing. Nothing. And how did the North Koreans do this? Oh, Mike, come on. It's magic. It's magic. So all of a sudden, there's nothing. And in the blink of an eye, there is a nuclear reactor in the Syrian desert ready to go operational, bada bing, bada boom, just like that. Wow. These North Koreans and these Syrians, they are slick devils, aren't they? Huh? Son of a bitch. And that doesn't even allow for the time involved in the translator trying to translate North Korean or Korean into Syrian or Arabic. My goodness. Boy, these people are slick. So Dick Cheney, who wants to see nuclear fire engulf the planet, and the Christians want to see it because then Jesus will be happy. And I think the Likudniks have gotten to the point where they just don't give a damn anymore. They just don't care. Bomb? Sure, we'll bomb. What do you want us to do, Dick? Huh? What do you want? Where do you want us to go? You want us to go into Syria? Fine, you got it, pal. Zoom, bang! This is kind of screwy, isn't it? Don't you think, Truth Seeker? Something awful screwy going on around here. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Seven past the hour. Now, there's one postscript to the story here about North Korea, Syria, Israel, and the United States, and of course Dick Cheney. The attack on the buildings in the Syrian desert that somehow magically were able to produce fissionable nuclear material ready to begin a nuclear reactor designed to, nuclear weapons, you know, which raises one question. It just keeps flooding my mind. Israel has a minimum, according to, who was the professor who worked on the Israeli nuclear weapons program and let the cat out of the bag, and I think he's in prison now in Israel, at least 200 nuclear weapons targeted on every single Arab capital on Earth. And so we get some of these Arab countries that say, well, we're going to start a nuclear reactor because we want some cheap fuel. I don't know what we're going to do with the byproduct, the plutonium, but, you know, we're running out of oil, guys. And all of a sudden, Israel and the United States are not going to stand for it. Are the leaders of Syria and Iran and Iraq and who else? Who else is there? I don't know. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Jordan? You know, Egypt? Are the leaders of these countries totally willing to commit suicide and take their entire populations with them? which is exactly what would happen if they ever, you know, trundled out one of these primitive nukes, you know, got out the equipment necessary, the towers and the cranes and the rockets and everything necessary to launch. In the meantime, what? The Israelis are going to sit back and go, oh, look, looks to me as though the Syrians are getting ready to place a nuclear warhead on top of a short-range ballistic missile. Let me see. Yes, by golly, that could hit us right here in downtown Tel Aviv. What should we do, folks? Do you really believe that scenario is possible? Do you think that the leaders of these Arab countries are insane to the point where they're willing to commit suicide and take their entire populations with them? Aside from the fact that they're just as nuts on some levels as Christian psychopaths. You know, they have Allah and heaven, and these freaks over here have Jesus in heaven. Hey, do you think that's going to happen? I just can't for the life of me. But the postscript on this entire story of the North Korean, Syrian, Israeli, U.S., nuclear this, bombs that, oh my, Dick Cheney, we got to stop them. Oh, let's blow up something and pretend. Here's the kicker to the story, as reported by the Associated Press. And TVNewsLies.org had this. The Associated Press reports the following. The White House said Thursday that North Korea's secret work on a nuclear reactor with Syria was, quote, a dangerous and potentially destabilizing development for the world, end quote, raising doubts about Pyongyang's intention to carry through with a promised disclosure of its nuclear activities. 7 months after Israel bombed the reactor, the White House broke its silence and said North Korea assisted Syria's secret nuclear program and that the destroyed facility was not intended for peaceful purposes. Oh, no. Top U.S. intelligence officials who briefed reporters said they had high confidence in the judgment that North Korea had aided Syria with its nuclear program. Now, here's the part that was left out of national media reports. But they claimed only low confidence for the conclusion that it was meant for weapons development, in part because there was no reprocessing facility at the site, something that would be needed to enrich nuclear material for use in a bomb. Now, that last sentence was left out of every single report in American media, except, of course, the AP, and there's no such thing as AP television. I mean, you don't sit down and watch AP on your TV. U.S. intelligence officials claimed only low confidence. What the hell is low confidence? For the conclusion that it was meant, the reactor, quote, quote, was meant for weapons development, in part because there was no reprocessing facility at the site, something that would be needed to enrich nuclear material for use in a bomb. These people want war so badly, and they want your kid, your mom, your dad to go fight it. Bob Kincaid at headonradio.com writes, Mike, I think we can all agree it would be nice to live in a nuke-free world. Likelihood looks slim, though. In the meantime, I've yet to have anyone explain to me why, A, only white people can be trusted with a nuclear arsenal, and B, how either around Syria or both with a small handful of nukes poses a threat to a nation, Israel, with no less than 200 nukes already targeted at every Muslim capital in the region. Because I know the TV box would never lie to me, I know that all them Arabs and Persians is crazy. Still, I can't imagine them being so crazy that they'd use their two or three nukes, whenever they get them in the next two or three decades, to attack a country with what will by then be thousands of nukes. Help me, Mike. My poor little noggin's hurting, and I can't find the threat to either America or poor little defenses Israel. Bob. But you see, we are supposed to be afraid, and we're supposed to be terrified, and we are supposed to, I don't know, sit in our bedrooms with the lights out and just pray that Jesus and Dick Cheney and the Likudniks in Israel will save us somehow. I know that's a weird collection of saviors, but that's who it's supposed to be. Jesus will rapture us, the Israelis will bring on Armageddon, and the trigger will be pulled by Dick Cheney. And then Pastor Hagee and Senator McCain and everybody can kick back and go, hallelujah, 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 and the harps will break out and the angels would descend and everything will be okay. You have to have faith in creative destruction, truth seekers, even if the creative destruction involves you, your children, and your planet. Because, you see, waiting on the other side of this creative destruction is paradise. You didn't know that? Oh, you non-believer, you. In the meantime, we have the imps and the cowards and the bullies and the thugs and the pissants here in America, like Rush Limbaugh, promoting as blatantly as he can riots in the streets at the Democratic National Convention. You have every single right-wing blogger just licking himself with anticipation of such an event. Ow, Rush! Oh, Rush! Oh, God, I love you! Oh! 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 You know what I mean. Oh, my God. Vanunu. That was his name. Mordecai Vanunu. Was the Israeli professor or nuclear engineer, and he's still in jail. I just found out. He's still in jail because he was the one that took the, really, out of the nuclear program in Israel. Israel always left it like, you know, we're not going to tell, but I'll tell you what, any of you Arab bastards feel froggy, we're going to jump. Yeah, it was Mordecai Vanunu, who's still in prison for telling the truth, which is what you do with people in totalitarian countries. When they tell the truth, you lock them up. In totalitarian countries or on the verge of being totalitarian countries like the United States, when someone tries to use the ha-ha public ha-ha airwaves to incite riots, you do nothing. You do nothing. You sit back. And you send out the memo that says, way to go, Rush. We really appreciate your efforts. Thank you. Thank you, Rush.
Come on, let's roll. Let's blow something up. Blow something up. Blow something up. That's what bombs were meant for, so you can blow stuff up. Let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up.
Humble and obedient servant, more of Michael
Long. It's 21 past the hour. Malachi in Saskatoon writes regarding the nuclear facility that Dick Cheney and Israel bombed. Malachi says, and I loved the proof the Pentagon provided to prove their claims that the building bombed was a nuclear reactor, drawings and computer animation. Yeah. Oh, we'd better believe what they have to say. They provided drawings and computer animation. Oh, and was that a picture of an Asian guy shaking hands with a Middle Eastern guy? Well, that just clinches it then. What kind of idiots do they think we are? Malachi. Well, I don't think they even consider the intelligence level of the American public, whether we're idiots or geniuses. What they do know is that we are passive. We will allow anything. We will allow anything. Stolen election? No problem. War based on lies? No problem. An official story of what occurred on 9/11/2001? No problem. A commission that investigates what occurred? No problem with the results. No, I don't think Cheney and the neocons and the Bush crime family think we're stupid. That doesn't even come up. But they know that we accept anything, everything. We have become, we have learned to be helpless. And they know that. And you know the really bad part? We know it. Huh? Nuclear reactor in the Syrian desert, designed to produce nuclear bombs, set up, funded, developed by North Korea? Well, hell yeah! Here it is! Look at the video! Iran, the cause of the troubles in Iraq? Why, hell yes! Wait, didn't we... No, no, we didn't do anything! But I thought... No, no! Wrong memory, Winston! Wrong memory! Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were the one... No! Iran! Iran did it. Oh, okay. This is what the Bush crime family knows. This is what Cheney knows. And this is also what certain rogue elements of the U.S. military establishment knows. We are passive. We allow a piece of human dreck like Rush Limbaugh to incite riots in the upcoming Democratic convention. And what do we do about it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I didn't mean that. Whoever says I said that is a goddamn liar.
But it's on your website.
No, it isn't.
But I see it right there.
No, you don't.
Oh. I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Huh. It's Barack Obama that wants riots. And Al Sharpton. You know, the Negroes want riots. God damn it, Malloy. What's wrong with you? I am a rather large white man. I don't want riots. Whatever made you think I did? Here, let me show you my Michael J. Fox imitation. Blah, 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 blah.
No, what the powers that be understand, Truth Seeker, is that we Americans are passive. We have developed learned helplessness, and we will do nothing. Nothing. The icing on the cake was were the huge demonstrations that occurred in this country prior to Dick Cheney and George Bush and the rest of these murderers' invasion of Iraq under false pretenses, completely false pretenses, that everybody in the U.S. government was in on. It was a massive lie, and so far 4,030 American soldiers have died. Nobody knows how many Iraqis, because like the original American commissar in Iraq said, we don't do body count. We don't do Iraqi body counts. Screw them. Let them all die. We don't count that kind of stuff. You know what? Kids, women, children. Ah, they're Hajis. They don't count. They're gooks. They're slopes. They don't. So, given our learned passivity and learned helplessness, whatever will happen, will happen. Right? And if the time ever comes when I decide to take myself, say goodbye to my wife and my kid, and take myself to, oh, I don't know, down to the federal building in Atlanta and chain myself to the wall, armed, and say, I'm not leaving until this goddamn war stops or something like that. Until that day, I am much more passive than you.
The debt and start a tet offensive on the poor.
It's a mystery in the making.
Everybody!
It's distinctly upper class.
Well, not everybody.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door. Roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man. With his hand up his...
Ditto.
Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
The greatest man in America.
About 25 before the hour. Aren't you sick of being jerked around? I mean, aren't you? Sometimes I'll spend a day, I'll start fixating on this. One thing about spending a lot of time walking and doing the exercises necessary to stay alive a little longer is that you really wind up getting deeply into your own head. And I'm using the pronoun you because I'm sure this applies to everybody. I know I certainly do. Long-distance runners or cyclists or swimmers, walkers, you know, people who do that sustained aerobic exercise like I do. You can't stop it. I try. I seriously try. I try the breathing. I try counting four breaths, going back to one and starting over again. Anything to stop thinking. Can't do it. Can't do a walking meditation. I try. Now, every once in a while, a little weird thing happens. Yeah, the time warp kind of happens. I'll be walking, and all of a sudden I realize I'm like a mile further down the path than I thought. So there is that little bit of almost emptiness. You know, what was it Ram Dass referred to it as, that vast empty space right behind your eyes? Yeah? When you can finally just, was that Ram Dass or was it someone else? When you can finally sink back into that. But, you know, I haven't developed that ability yet. Probably never will at this late stage in my life. But in spending all that time walking or swimming, there's an awful lot of time where, you know, you unless you've got a swim buddy or a walk partner, where you're just alone in your own head. And, oh, my God, this that can be real dangerous, can it? Huh? That can really... be dangerous. That's why right wingers don't do that. Right wingers eat. They don't exercise. They don't go for long walks. They sit in front of their television sets or their radios and play with themselves while O'Reilly is on or Limbaugh. You let a right winger get too far into his head and he winds up like Timothy McVeigh. But trying to compute all this, trying to say, wait a second, it's just impossible. Don't you feel that things are just totally out of control? Do you feel like you have any control anymore? I don't care who I vote for. If I go vote this November for Hillary or Barack, I'm going to feel as I feel every time I go into a voting booth in the last 15 years. It is worthless. A, pointless. B, absolutely. Absolutely worthless and pointless for me to be standing there voting for another corporate candidate. I don't care how nice Barack Obama is. I really don't. I don't care how inoculated Hillary is. Tell me what's going to change. Oh, I know all about hope. I know all about wishing and thinking and praying. Used to know about praying. I know all about that. But Truth Seeker, don't you believe that until the system is dramatically changed, I don't know what that'll take. What'll it take? Will it take the Jeffersonian idea of the Tree of Liberty being watered every once in a while with the blood of tyrants and patriots? Is that what it'll take? Will it take a complete economic meltdown in this country? Will it take yet a third or fourth war for us to get involved in? Will it take the cancellation of an election because of a state of emergency? What will it take? What will it take to move us past our learned helplessness? Does anybody know? I don't know. I don't know. Nobody likes to talk about the idea of learned helplessness.
That's for somebody else. That's not for me, Mike. God damn, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we are. Yes, we. Of course we are. I certainly have learned it. Huh? You haven't? Oh, well, good for you. But I do wonder this. I wonder this, especially, again, at this point that I'm at on the continuum of my life, which, now I realize this is true for anybody. I don't care if you're 20 or 60 or 80. You know, you could check out any second. You never know when that aortic aneurysm is going to burst in your lower chest, right? You never know when that stroke is going to hit you that wipes you out. You never know when a truck coming down the street is going to wipe your ass out. But you got to admit, when you're 25, you're immortal. When you're 65, you're not. And you start to realize that. And you start to say, well, okay. Now, of course, once you overcome your fear of death, then you overcome just about every fear. You don't overcome your passivity or you learned helplessness necessarily, do you? I don't know. Where's Tom Hartman? We need to get Hartman on the phone to answer these questions. He's a lot smarter than I am, and he could deal with this. He could give us the answers. But when I'm walking that trail, or when I'm swimming laps, and I've got all that time inside, right on the edge of that dark space, right there, that huge dark space that was it Ram Dass? Who was it? Right behind my eyes. And, you know, I feel myself just kind of tipping back like, whoa, go ahead, tip. But, you know, can't do it. Just can't make that last tilt. This is what I think about. What do you think about, huh? Oh, this is so self-indulgent. I'm sorry. Does anyone feel guilty because we are causing a global food shortage? Do you realize what's going on with the corn thing that Chucklenuts has been talking about? Farmers, I mean, corn futures are off the chart. Corn farmers in the United States, they're like, ha, damn, this is so good. Corn is being diverted to the biofuel markets, which has driven the price to record levels. Now, that's good news for these U.S. corn farmers. Bad news for people around the globe already on subsistence diets and near non-existent wages, right? Huh? That's the wonder of globalization. Send all the work to places where you can get people for 80 cents a day or whatever, and then jack up the prices of their foods, because back in the, you know, industrialized world, farmers are saying, son of a bitch, let's go. Hey, they're going to put this corn in their fuel tanks. Boy, I love this. Well, in the meantime, you know, this rice thing is a joke. There's no rice shortage. There is a fear of a rice shortage, or a fear of prices going off the chart, so prices are going off the chart. That's one of the magic aspects of the marketplace. If all of a sudden fear takes hold, well, then the game is up. That's it. But I was thinking the other day, you know, I mentioned this on the air this week. I went to a local farmer's market here to buy broccoli. And sorry to say, it was grown in California. But that's because the broccoli here in Georgia is not ready yet for harvest. So I bought the broccoli, organic broccoli, from California. And because of shipping costs and fuel costs and I don't know what costs, maybe there's a broccoli glut or a broccoli shortage or something, not a glut, a shortage. But all of a sudden, I'm spending $3.99 for what equals maybe 14 ounces of broccoli. And see, for that same $4, I could go over to Church's Fried Chicken, man, and get me a 14-piece double fat fried junk crap, dead bird crap. It tastes good, loaded up with salt and mayonnaise, son of a bitch, I'm in heaven, right? So what are you going to do? So that was another thing I started thinking about the other day. I asked Kathy, we were having a cup of coffee the other day from superbeans.com. Have you gone to Superbeans? Oh, son of a bitch. I'll tell you what, a lot of people think, well, Malloy, you're just so negative. Superbeans.com is a bright spot for me. When we drink that coffee, I have never tasted such good coffee. Oops, there goes another one of those damn commercials. I have never tasted such good coffee. We're sitting around having a cup of coffee, and this issue came up. This is earlier this week when Kathy turns to me and says, is there any good news anywhere? Is there anything? And, you know, the quick answer to that is, yeah, just look across the table. There are our 3.5, almost 4-year-old kid. There's your good news. No. Is there any good news that everybody can share? Molly is our good news, but is there anything that we could all plug into and say, whoa, that is really cool. Something nice has happened in Israel or China or Tibet or Darfur or Sweden or Ecuador or El Salvador. Is there anything like that out there? My wife asked me. And, of course, being the man of the house and the head of the household, I looked at her and said, drink your coffee, woman. I don't know. But the corn thing. So we started thinking, you know, this whole biofuels thing where corn that, you know, people are supposed to eat corn. Of course, we don't eat. A lot of it goes to feed hogs and cattle on these forced feeding lots. You know, people who raise hogs and cattle on an open range, people who raise a so-called free-range chickens, yeah, we eat meat. We do eggs. We do. And when we go to buy, we all maybe we're being lied to, but we always buy free-range eggs from free-range chickens. If we're going to buy a hunk of beef, we make sure that it was not raised in a feedlot and loaded up with antibiotics. Does that make us good people? I don't know. I frankly don't care at this point. I really do. But I do know that the meat that we eat is not going to cause Molly to start her menstrual cycle when she's 8 because it's so loaded with hormones. We do know that. We also know that Kathy and I are not going to become immune to antibiotics because it's loaded with the crap. What are we doing? Jesus.
Take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. It's finally the tables are starting to turn.
Locked and Loaded with Mike Malloy.
Oh, watch your language there. Locked and Loaded, oh. Last Sunday, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said in an interview, this is according to Haaretz.com, he said in an interview last Sunday that Iran is, quote, not as close as it pretends, end quote, to developing nuclear weapons. Olmert, speaking to Israel Radio, also said, are you ready? Olmert also said he believes that international diplomatic pressure on Iran will in the end keep Tehran from attaining nuclear weapons and that a military confrontation over the issue will not be necessary. The direct quote from Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is this, quote, there is a possibility of bringing about a situation in which Iran is non-nuclear without a military operation, end quote. He went on to say, quote, I hear the declarations of Iran's leaders from time to time, and I'm telling you that Iran is far from crossing the technological line into nuclear capability. To my regret, it is not as far as I would wish, but it is not as close as it pretends. End quote. He went on to say on Israel Radio, quote, that he believes, here's the quote, that continuing the diplomatic efforts to which Israel is a partner will in the end attain the goal and that there is no need to latch on to all sorts of apocalyptic prophecies which have no basis in reality, end quote. Hey, Cheney, you piece of human waste. That's Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, a Likudnik, saying that a confrontation with Iran is not necessary or desired. But, coming this Sunday night on 60 Minutes, Bob Simon is going to talk to Major General Eliezer Shkedi, who is the commander of the Israeli Air Force. And he says that President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's threats against Israel are extremely serious. Israel must be ready for anything and ultimately trust only themselves, and for good reason. His family survived the Holocaust. He says on 60 Minutes with Bob Simon this Sunday night, I think it is a very serious threat to the state of Israel. But more than this, to the whole world. They're talking about what they think about the state of Israel. They're talking about destroying and wiping us from the earth. We should remember. We cannot forget. We should trust only ourselves. Well, who's... Without nuclear weapons, somebody tell me very quickly, how would Iran wipe Israel off the earth? In the first place, that was never said. We went through that about 6 months ago, parsing the language, Farsi language, word for word, but never mind, that's a whole different story. The Israeli Air Force general likens ignoring Ahmadinejad today to the atmosphere that enabled the Holocaust yesterday. He says, quote, in those days, people didn't believe that Hitler was serious about what he said. I suggest not to repeat this way of thinking and to prepare ourselves for what they are planning. We should be prepared for everything. Also, on 60 Minutes, if that's not enough to ring your chimes, how about this? The Supreme Court Justice... Antonin Fat Tony Scalia, Fat Tony Scalia's on, and he's interviewed by Leslie Stahl, and he says, Leslie asked him about, the Supreme Court's decision giving the 2000 presidential election to George Bush, and Leslie Stahl suggests it was politically motivated, and Scalia responds by saying, I say nonsense, get over it. Get over it. It's old by now. The principal issue in the case, whether the schema that the Florida Supreme Court had put together violated the federal Constitution. That wasn't even close. The vote was 7-2. But get over it. What are we supposed to say? Get over it. Sit down, Leslie. Are you Catholic? I'm Catholic. I'm a member of Opus Dei. The Jesuits educated me. Sit down, Leslie. Did you ever notice that so many right-wingers talk to whomever they are talking to as though they were addressing a 10-year-old child? Have you ever noticed that? This is the appeal of Limbaugh from his listeners, because he talks down to them to a point where it connects. It's like the daddy they never had, or the mommy that used to slap their asses every time they turn around. This is your typical Republican, typical right-winger. And Limbaugh talks to them that way. This is the same way that Scalia or any of these right-wingers, when they are asked serious questions, hey, was the decision to give the election to George Bush politically motivated? Fair question, since only five Supreme Court justices voted. The 72 thing he's talking about was the first one that rejected the Florida Supreme Court's decision. Huh? Fat Tony and the rest of these thugs? Hey, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Huh? Fat Tony tells Leslie Stahl, who asked him a legitimate question, what's his response? Nonsense. Get over it. It's so old by now. Jesus Christ, that was 8 years ago. Are you saved? You Christian, you want to come to the mass with me? I think it's fun. Or maybe you want to go hunting. You want to go hunting, fishing with me? What do you want to do, Leslie? Huh? You married? You are? Well, so am I. So, what do you say? Oh, my God. And have you heard about Tony Zirkel, who is a Republican candidate for Indiana's 2nd Congressional District? I'm going to tell you a little bit about him when we come back, and then we're going to take your phone calls. You want to do that? Or not? What do you want to do? All right, let's do that. No, I'm talking to you, gentle listener. I'm not talking to Kathy. I'm talking to you. You can answer through the magic of radio. Just think it, and it will flood into that vast, dark space right behind my eyeballs that Ram Dass. Never mind. All right, stick around. Break's coming up. We'll be back. Stay with us. Phone calls and Tony Zirkel when we return. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. All right, it's Friday night, and we have an hour left. This is toss-up time for me. It's either another cup of Super Beans coffee or a glass of wine. What do you think, Kathy?
Duh.
All right, a couple of emails here very quickly. This is from Lee in New York City, and Lee writes, "Why I believe it will get better. Hi, Mike. I have to believe it will get better. I cannot impeach the Bush administration. The government will be run by disappointing Democrats and the greedy GOP. I know we can cause quick nuclear destruction of our planet. Alternatively, global warming is here, making things worse. I have children. I have to believe that humanity can prevent my worst fears from coming true. Now tell me, Mike, when you look into Molly's face with a curious mind, trying to understand the world, do you not say to yourself in your deepest belief, it has to get better for her? Best to you and your family, Lee in New York City." Well, you want an honest answer? Sometimes I get real freaked out when I look into Molly's eyes because I know that I'm not going to be around to see her reach the fullness of her adulthood. That's just an impossibility. Kathy will. And what? And this is something we have to confront and talk about because of my age and having a child who is just about to turn four. And when we talk about this, and we do talk about it, my best hope is that that Kathy can provide for her at critical moments in her life when she's going to need it, when I won't be here, the very thing you're talking about. When I look into Molly's eyes, of course I have to have hope in the short term. In fact, when you're my age and have a child, that really is about all you've got. Hope. Hope that in the short time you have with your growing child, you can instill in her or him those things that you think are really critical to that kid being able to sustain himself or herself when you're gone. It's a hard job. It really is. The hardest thing I've ever done is to have a child at my age. It's just unbelievably difficult. It is also rewarding, but there's always an element of poignancy about it. There is. There just is. That's just the way it is. But this is a decision that we made. We tried for 6 years to get pregnant, 5 years to get pregnant, 6 years. So this is not like, oops, we're pregnant. I wish it would have happened earlier, but it did not, so here we are. That's the long answer to your question. Another self-indulgent Malloy answer. I'm sorry. David Kay writes, regarding our learned helplessness, Mike, I agree with you about our people's maladaptive behavior and our willingness to be simple chumps. However, instead of learned helplessness, perhaps it's really just our learned hopelessness that's at work here. We've been monumentally co-opted and are now just plain sheeple. And a resident a philosopher, Bob, writes in a learned helplessness solution. Bob writes, "Don't mean to sound like a BS Zen master, but the only way out of learned helplessness is to choose not to drown. The scariest choice one can make is to fight for one's life alone. Learned helplessness is reinforced because the decision to choose is a completely solitary choice. We really like consensus. We know if we throw ourselves into the gears of the machine, we might not have a lot of company. What'd the guy say? We fall from womb to tomb alone. Understanding that non-aloneness is an illusion makes it easier to make solitary decisions. I'm going to follow Harry Nielsen's advice. Jump into the fire." Of course, he's dead. No help there. Bob Alexander. See, you know, I get some of the stuff from Bob on a fairly regular basis. If you want to get it all the time, go to his website, superbeans.com. Sign up. Drink some coffee. Dear God, life is too short to drink crappy coffee. And Tom in Joshua Tree, California writes about the pig man snorts. That's the subject line. Tom writes, "You know, if a 15-year-old kid told a classmate that he had a dream about shooting up his school, the kid would be yanked from the system, put into detention, and his parents would probably lose their house and legal fees defending themselves against charges of harboring a terrorist. The pig man calls for riots, and his ratings go up. And the liberals are blamed for being sissies, afraid of a little hardball, cowering liberals who hate America. And the liberals apologize and promise to do better. And the war goes on. Land of the free, home of the brave. Rest in peace, Tom." Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. Good point. Let some 15-year-old kid let word get out that he said, yeah, I had a dream last night. Woke me up. I dreamed I was going to arm myself and come into school here and shoot everybody. Oh, Jesus Christ! That's the end of that kid's life! He now becomes a ward of the state. He's analyzed. He is probably jailed. His parents are freaked out. But Limbaugh can go on the air and tell his 6 million listeners it's time for a riot. I mean a real one. A literal riot. Fires in Denver. And what happens? Crickets.
Yeah, I think one thing that Limbaugh is playing with the language here that really is skipping by a lot of people for some reason is when he said he was dreaming about it. He didn't mean he was literally asleep and had some kind of nighttime vision.
No, it's his
vision.
Dream ending.
It was his dream
ending.
In terms of like his fervent wish.
Like that, I have a dream.
Right. That this is how Operation Chaos will culminate with riots.
That's right. So, but Limbaugh knows his audience. He knows they are dumber than doorknobs. So, and he knows media is terrified, or anybody, the authorities are terrified of taking Limbaugh on because it's
a freedom of speech. The liberal media is trying to stop my freedom of speech. Are we going to stand for this? Ditto heads.
Yeah. Okay. Arbeit mach frei. Ooh. I had this in my blog site the other day. Last Sunday, Tony Zirkle, a Republican candidate for Indiana's 2nd congressional district, took time out from saving the moral fiber of the country. He shreds, you see, vintage Playboy magazines. That's what this guy does, which is immediate proof that he is a secret porn and masturbation addict. So anyway, Tony Zirkle, Republican candidate, Indiana's 2nd congressional district, he decided to go attend a birthday celebration for Adolf Hitler. 119th birthday celebration for Adolf Hitler in, of course, Indiana. Oh, Christ. He claims he was there only to talk about his experience as a state's attorney in Indiana. He was also there, he says, to talk about his Save the Family theories about pornography and to preach the gospel of fighting race mongrelization. God, that's a quaint term. I haven't heard that since I used to live in Virginia all the way back in 1966. They still had laws on the books in Virginia against race mongrelization. You couldn't get married if you were one partner was black and one was white when I lived in Richmond. That's how old I am. So his attendance with these fellow dunces, Tony Zirkle's attendance, had absolutely nothing to do with his segregation plan that would allow blacks to, quote, have six states instead of having one half black senator, well, they would have 12 completely black ones, end quote. That's out of his mouth. Herr Zirkle is now defending his speech to the American Nazis gathered for this greasy circle jerk, saying he appeared simply because he was asked. Oh. Hey, Zirkle, I'm asking you to kill yourself. what do you say, pal? No? A photo, Sig Heiling its way around the net, shows this Republican goof standing in front of a painting of Hitler. The self-abusers clustered next to him are wearing swastika armbands. A swastika flag is in the background. That's a nice tableau, isn't it? The speech was to the American National Socialist Workers' Party in Chicago. All, what, 14 of them? Don't kid yourself, Malloy. Now it turns out that the St. Joseph County, Indiana Republican Party is trying to distance itself from Herr Zirkle. Why? Why? The National Socialist philosophy, whether coming from the spiderwebby mind of Hitler or these clowns, is absolutely that of today's Republicans. You have doubts about that? Well, tune in to Hannity or Limbaugh or Savage or Bortz. Or any of their clones and wannabes. They are legion, and they get lots and lots of airtime. When you do that, get a firm grip on your gag reflex and listen to the trill of thoroughly modern, thoroughly American Nazis. Now, given all this, how do you suppose Barack Obama is going to do in the upcoming Indiana primary? Huh? And there's a follow-up to this. Zirkle... Zirkle, on his website, now is responding to the criticisms by, you ready? Railing against Jews and prostitution. It's the whores and the Jews' fault, right? Here's what he's got on his website. I've been getting a flood of emails and phone calls, some of which include death threats, about my attempt to raise awareness. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Where could that land be? We looked around and then we found a land for you and me. And now it's springtime for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and gay. We're marching to a faster pace.
Liberal helping of truth, it's more of Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. Back to this Tony Zirkle, this Republican. This is so typical of Republicans. You know, say what you want to about corporate Democrats, and I'll probably agree with you, but Republicans are vermin. They're just absolute scum. This guy, Tony Zirkle, Republican congressional candidate in Indiana, gave a speech to the American National Socialist Workers Party. That's the American Nazis. They're not socialists and they're not workers. They're pissants that should be ground into the dirt. But he gave a speech on the 119th anniversary of Adolf Hitler's birth. That would have been when? Back on April 20th. And like I shared with you right before, the follow-up to the story, he made certain statements that just border on typical Republican rhetoric. Well, now he says that the criticism he's getting is because of the Jews and the prostitutes. This is what he's got on his website. Quote, I've been getting a flood of emails and phone calls, some of which include death threats, about my attempt to raise awareness of how the great porn dragon inspires Jews into pornography and prostitution and then, like the snake he is, turns the public against the Jews. Some have questioned whether there is any link to Jews and porn prostitution. Unfortunately, those websites are just a small fraction of evidence that you can find on a Google search when you use a combination of Jews, pornography, sex slavery, Israel, and prostitution. So let's save our Jewish brothers and sisters from this tyrant king porn dragon before we get to another worldwide pogrom. Oh, really? And according to the Indiana News-Dispatch newspaper, the, quote, effect of pornography and prostitution on young white women and girls, end quote, was also the subject of Zirkle's speech at the Nazi event. So, you know, there's the setup and then the denouement. The setup is Jews and dragons and pornography. And then the close is, so let's save our Jewish brothers and sisters from this. Oh, my God. You know, I swear to God, I said once before, if I were a black man in America, I would either be dead now or in prison or in an asylum, because I just would not have been able to handle what black men in this country have been forced to handle. By the same token, if I were a Jew in America, I would probably track down somebody like Tony Zirkle and I would track down someone like Tony Zirkle and, escort him into a well-lit room and have a discussion with him that would be very intense. And if I were a Palestinian, oh, never mind. All right, this, and then we're to your phone calls. Art from Manhattan writes, Mike, according, this is regarding the corn and the biofuels. Mike, according to a number of studies, it is estimated that between 35 and 50,000 people planet-wide die daily of starvation, and we grow crops to fuel our SUVs. How could we have established such a system? Given our current state in general, it is no surprise. I didn't realize 35 to 50,000 people died daily from starvation. Well, that's just, you know, that's just the luck of the draw or the unluck of the draw. You know, if you're born someplace where you don't know how to raise your own crops or how to drive an SUV, well, okay. And last thing, this was an email sent back to Julia from Matthew Quain, the KOA.com webmaster radio station in Denver that carries Rush's program. And Matthew Quain writes, hey, Julia, citing Rush Limbaugh's, quote, incendiary comments, end quote, about a riot in Denver, Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado has called for a public reprimanding of the controversial talk show host. In a letter addressed to Lee Larson, senior vice president of the Rocky Mountain region of Clear Channel Radio, Senator Salazar complains about what he sees as a clear exhortation of rioting and violence in the streets of Denver in the wake of the Democratic National Convention. Yada, yada, yada. So, you know, maybe the pig man will be removed from the airway. This is not a freedom of speech issue. This is an incitement to riot issue. You know, speech, freedom of speech has restrictions. You can't incite people to riot. Oh, I guess you can if you're Limbaugh. About 25 before the hour, I've got to share this with you because it was just sent to me by Ben Birch, our one of our staff of engineer people who handle streaming and stuff about Nova M, and also the podcast manager. This is sent from Walter in his last name, and he's a PhD here, and I don't want to say his last name. He is a founding member. I always get nervous about saying last names, unless it's Bob Alexander. Please forward this information to Mike Malloy. On April 25th, 2007, Mike discussed the scenario of the bombing of the alleged Syrian nuclear reactor by Israel. I have been in the nuclear power industry for 40 years as a nuclear engineering manager, startup manager, and nuclear assurance manager. This latest disclosure of a nuclear plant in Syria is just plain fantasy. It would take at least 10 or more years to build, start up, and bring a reactor to operation. The amount of material needed and specialized manpower needed to build and operate the reactor is humongous. Stainless steel, vessels, pumps, concrete, electrical substations, cooling water, and cooling towers, etc., could not possibly have been realized in this time of profound observation from above. If the reactor was built, after several fuel cycles, the spent fuel would have to be separated in huge centrifuge facilities. I could go on, and in greater detail, the story is just plain fabrication. It is highly possible that there was nothing to bomb, but that the administration needed to have some justification for the fantasy at a later time than the actual bombing. The nuclear community is really very small. Most people have no concept of how complicated and difficult it is to build a nuclear plant. Sincerely, Dr. Walter, in his last name, Nova founding member. Thank you, Dr. Walter. I appreciate it. But all of a sudden, there it was. Gosh darn it, 1 minute nothing but sand. Next minute, a nuclear reactor ready to go online. Wow. Zingo. Those tricky Syrians. Boy.
Falafel my ass. Those people were building a nuclear reactor.
It's just unbelievable, the stuff they put out. But these are people who stuck by the story that Iraq had nuclear weapons in the palm trees, and bombs were ready to go off, and chemical this, and anthrax canisters, and oh my God. And what did the American people do? For the most part, we bought it. You know why we didn't, why it's the proof that we bought it? Because when it turned out, when we finally got the word, it was all lies and all fabrication, what did we do? Bah! Bah! Bah. But it was all lies. Bah, bah, bah. So why not lie about this? Why not lie about everything? Bah, bah, bah. Let's go to your phone calls. Starting with Michael in New York City, listening on the internet. Michael, welcome to the program.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Listen, you know, the most amazing thing is not that the Bush administration would try this lie, but rather that the media would go for it after so many other lies.
With no questioning, no digging into it.
Exactly.
Just, exactly. Like it's a press release.
Iran, you name it. I mean, like you said earlier, don't you feel things are totally out of control? They are totally out of control. The question is, what does it take now to avoid fascism? I mean, we're seeing the emergence of fascism. With this type of thing, they're just completely manipulating us. Syria, Iraq, Iran. I mean, and McCain says, oh, my friends, we're going to see other wars.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about learned helplessness, and I don't know, Michael. I have no idea how to turn this around. There was a time in my life, maybe in yours, maybe in a lot of people's, where we felt like, I've got the power of my vote. I've got the power of lobbying my local member of Congress. I can do this. I can do that. I don't feel that anymore. Maybe it's because I've gotten lazy, I have learned my own helplessness. But I just don't feel that. It just feels things are cranking along, whether I want to go along with it or not.
Well, I'll tell you, what I think is the only thing that's going to change anything is getting people out in the street. And all the time, and in large numbers. We've just seen too much. People are counting too much on the Congress to do things. What? They won't impeach Bush. That'll be rocking the boat. You know, I mean, the most lawless administration in history. Could they have done anything more to warrant impeachment? Of course not.
No.
Of course we couldn't impeach Bush. Couldn't impeach Bush. So what are they going to do? They won't do anything.
No, and this is why I think it's very clear. A lot of people say to me, well, Malloy, you've got to retain your faith in the Democratic Party. Whether you like Hillary or Obama is immaterial. You have to support them because they are our last best hope. And to that, I say stuff I can't say on the air. No, I don't have to do it because they are part of the problem, not the solution. I've said it before. Does anyone really believe that a President Obama or a President Clinton is going to make any change whatsoever in U.S. foreign policy? Or they might tinker a little bit here domestically, but it's not going to be anything dramatic. The Democratic Party, as well, the Republican Party, is already run by demons and consists of demonic influence. The Democratic Party is exactly the same, with maybe a 10% slide or a 10% left that hasn't sunk completely into this morass of lies and deception and corporate ownership. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to say yet again, well, I've got to go with the Democrats because they're not Republicans? God damn it, they are Republicans.
They're almost Republicans. You know, the thing is, they're not a bunch of organized fascists, and the Republicans are virtually that. I mean, they're a group of quasi-fascists, fascists, and reactionaries. That's basically the spectrum.
Well, if the Democrats...
The Republican Party, the Democrats are basically the spectrum of liberals to conservatives. I mean, let's face it, the vast number of of Democrats are actual conservatives. But, I mean, when you talk about conservatives, the real conservatives are in the Democratic Party. They're not in the Republicans. And the funny thing is, I mean, let's face it, we can't expect the Democrats to do anything for us. We have to the main point of getting the Democrats into power is to push them to do something. But the only way we can push them to do something is by getting out in number.
Well, I hear you. I just wish there was some way, Michael, that we could get 20 million people to walk out into the street and sit down.
Yeah.
That's all it would take. There doesn't have to be trips to D.C. There doesn't have to be speakers from these various organizations. If just 10 or 20 million of us, which would be massive, let's say 8% of the population, just step out into the street and sit down and say, that's it, that's it.
And Mike, this is the answer. People keep on saying, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard this question. People go to various speeches of various people who criticize Bush and the Republicans and say, well, what can we do? Well, the answer is simple. You know, get out in numbers. That's right. The only answer. It's not going to make it. You know, you don't just write letters to your congressman. I'm sorry. That's not enough.
It's a waste of time. All right. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Have a good weekend. I appreciate it. The grotesque irony, the grotesque irony of all this is that all it would take to bring this corrupt Bush crime family down is for 20 million people to make a decision to do nothing. But to do that nothing publicly, to step out into the street, so to speak, sit down and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Gandhi did that with his people, and what happened? Let's forget the bloodbath that occurred between the Hindus and the Muslims after they got their freedom. But as far as British imperialism, what happened? It ended. How did it end? Because Gandhi convinced the people of India to sit down and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, that probably can't happen here, but the immediate question is, why not? You don't have to rent a Greyhound to go to D.C. You don't have to make a sign. The last thing you want to do is to write your member of Congress or your senator. Why not? Just one day, do nothing. And if that gets no reaction, then do it again. And keep doing it. What do you think would happen? Huh? Just by doing nothing, just sitting down and allowing yourself to fall back into that big, dark space right behind your eyeballs. Huh? Never mind.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. We got to rebuild America. Keep hope alive. We've got to rebuild America. Keep hope alive. We've got to rebuild America. High on the rise. That dream we are building for time. Now don't sit at home saying, what could I do? Gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
About 10 before the hour. All right, let's thank the people who made this program possible this week. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered phone calls. Billy Foster, our technical director. Podcast manager, among other things, Ben Birch. Our senior correspondent, Chris, in Minnesota. Our resident philosopher, Bob Alexander, and Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence, and Catherine Bay, the executive producer, and of course, so many more people who make this program possible, and the entertainment behemoth that it really is. Oh, we do. I mean, there's so many people that contribute so much to this program with your emails and your encouragements and so on and so forth. I wish we could acknowledge everybody, but we can't. The only time I get to acknowledge everybody is usually if I know I'm going to get fired, and I like I did at WLS. So I really didn't get fired. I mean, I quit there, oddly enough. But I had to work out an arrangement with WLS to leave. And one of the things I said, part of the separation agreement, I want a week. And the last night I get to thank everybody, and it took forever. But that's just not going to happen at Nova M. I mean, this is... when I leave Nova M, what's the expression? They carry me out feet first. But anyway, thanks to everybody who makes this program possible. It is deeply appreciated. I wish I could acknowledge or answer every single email. I wish I could acknowledge your names on the air. And, of course, that's impossible. But you all are key to the success of this program. We got time for... Yeah, let's go to the calls. Adam is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Adam, thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, great to hear you back in our city.
Yeah, I love being back on in Los Angeles, trust me.
Oh, we've missed you. But I want to cheer you up a little bit. I've been chomping at the bit. First of all the major national security figures from the inside, only Zbigniew Brzezinski has been screaming like us about black flag operations and the danger, and I salute him and willing to forgive whatever other sins he may have because he's so right on. And who is he advising? Barack Obama. So I tell you, it's up to us, but I don't say we sit down, we organize little stocks, keep the kitchen fires going, and gather together. But we'll stop these people.
Well, I hope you're right. I really do. I hope that we can stop this nonsense, Adam. As far as Brzezinski is concerned, I've got mixed feelings about him, and I know that the real purists out there who listen to this program are going to jump all over me about that. But in the modern, in the current context, I think Brzezinski is probably a good advisor. One of the reasons is because some of his advice in the past was so criminal and so bad and so corrupt. And I think this man has learned. I honestly believe he's learned. And he realizes that no matter how corrupt a Democrat can be, no matter how bad the advice can be, Republicans can square it, cube it, raise it to a power of nine. And I think Brzezinski has had his moment on the road to Damascus, so to speak. And I'm glad to see that he's advising Barack Obama. Barack Obama is, I'm not trying to be patronizing here, but he's very young. He's very inexperienced. He's got great rhetorical skills, and I hope he surrounds himself with some good advisors if he's the president. But, I feel like you do. I'm glad to see Brzezinski back into it. Now, please don't write me emails and tell me Brzezinski is an incipient Nazi. Don't. Now, what were you saying, Adam?
Well, the 3 a.m. call is about Black Flag, and so that's
right.
And let us all stay together and say never.
I hear you.
Mike, we rely on you to cheer us up, so cheer up yourself, my brother.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Take care, pal. I appreciate it.
If that's true, then we're screwed.
That's for sure. Dick is calling from Seattle, listening on KPTK. Hey, Dick.
Well, Mike, I was going to go for a long walk, and then I decided to sit here instead and call the Mike Malloy Show.
Oh, no.
But, at least you still speak to power, you, Randy, and Keith, and that's a start. But it's a long journey, I think, to take our media back from ABC, CBS, Fox, absent, of course, another Pearl Harbor. So, I still watch CNN for lack of anything better. And occasionally Jack McCafferty comes on, tells the truth, even about this bogus Clinton campaign without end, But But then, of course, we get the establishment spin doctor Blitzer. He comes back on and tries to get us to stop believing our lying eyes. You
is
know?
It, isn't Wolf Blitzer a piece of work? Isn't he amazing?
Well, if only I didn't know he was a former AIPAC lobbyist, it might help. Might be not so bad. But
yeah, but he's also a former World War II German U-boat commander.
I think so. But you know, I expect it from these guys. but it's a consequent crossfire from our own establishment liberals that really gets me down. You know, we can't talk about any major right-wing crime without being attacked and called conspiracy theorists by them. I mean, we all sat there and watched three steel-framed buildings detonated to dust 7 years ago by these right-wing cabalists, and they're still asking, you know, who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes?
I know.
And we don't believe them. Yeah, so we ought to talk about these crimes, you know, and maybe Conspiracy Friday for a couple hours, maybe with John Judge or Jim Mars for background setup, you know. So at least, you know, we can appreciate who we're up against and how these things get the way that they are now.
And I think that appreciation and understanding is necessary, but we're still left with the same question as we always are. Now what? But I'm sure we're going to figure it out. Dick, got to leave it there. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in. If I'm leaving you on hold, I do apologize. This happens with alarming regularity. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.